Open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad you chose to come here tonight and be a part of the worship service. It's good to have a lot of our sick folk back. Real good to see Kermit and Terry back there. Kermit's getting his collar back. He's tanned and ready to roll again, I think. So it's real good to see him back with us. And Lord's blessing. Lord's blessing. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29 is where we're going to start at. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 1 and 2. Now what I'm going to do is I intended to do this in one sermon. If you'll remember, 3 weeks ago, I read verse 29. And then I give you an outline for a three-point outline. But each one of them points ended up being a sermon. That wasn't my intention. So let me go ahead and read Hebrews 11, 29 again, and I'll bring you up to date to where we're at, and I'm going to finish this tonight. It says, by faith, verse 29 of Hebrews 11, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now this is speaking, of course, the generation. It's talking about Moses and the generation that came up out of Egypt. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do, were drowned. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these people that's come tonight to worship with us. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon them and upon me. Lord, I can't do anything without you. And humbled that you'd even use me in this capacity, Lord. Help me tonight and help your people to be able to shove the world out of their minds and think about what's being said this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the first message we brought from this text, sermon number one, was the Red Sea and faith. Y'all remember that? The Red Sea and faith. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible and one of the most talked about miracles and one of the most well-known miracles, even amongst unbelievers, is the parting of the Red Sea. So the first thing we did was we mentioned the Red Sea and faith. Now, as I told you, if you look at a map, whenever the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, about 2 or 3 weeks or a month, they could have been the promised land. It wasn't that far off. But you know what the Lord did? He brought them all the way down, 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 brought them kind of southeast pattern and brought them all the way down. Remember, they didn't have a map. They had a cloud they followed. Cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they actually had the Lord directing their path. Now, don't you imagine Moses kind of wondered what in the world's going on? I mean, he would look, he said, well, right there. That's a shorter route. But God said, no, you follow where I'm taking you. And he took him the long way down. Not only did he take him the long way down, but he brings him right up to the Red Sea. So you have the Red Sea in front. You have mountains on either side. And then what happens is Pharaoh realizes he's lost his slave labor. So he changes his mind, gets his army, 600 chariots. They come out of Egypt and they go after him. And now they're behind him. Does that look like a trap to y'all? I mean, you talk about a hopeless looking situation. That indeed was. Now, the first sermon we looked at two questions. Because sometimes, would you all agree with me? Sometimes the Lord leads you into hopeless-looking situations. How many knows that? Raise your right hand. Now, we don't respond real good to looking at a hopeless-looking situation, do we? And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll question and quarrel and complain, and some of them indeed did. Number one, under that, here's what we pointed out. Who led them into that hopeless situation? God did. That kind of helps you, doesn't it? Well, as you know, if you really believe God puts you in the position that you're in or leads and guides you into the position you're in, then it's clear that He has a purpose for putting you there. That helps you be able to handle things when you feel, well, God has led me here. And if He's put me in this position, then He has a purpose for that for me. See? So that's the first point we looked at. Always remember, when you face times of hardship, you got to remember that who led you there. See, God's still on His throne and He's still in charge. And sometimes He'll bring you into situations that when you look at it, it appears hopeless. Well, what's He want you to do? What do you do when things look hopeless? Well, He told him to do three things. He told him to do three things. And here's what the three things were. He told him to fear not. Fear not. Instead of being afraid, what do? You pray and you trust in the Lord. See, there's a lot of times that things can make you fearful. And you get led into a place and you don't understand it. You don't see no way. Here's where Liz at. You don't understand it. And then you don't see no way out. What does God say? Fear not. See, God's still on His throne. God's still in charge. God's still got a plan. And God's still got a purpose. He told him to fear not. The second thing He told him to do was stand still. What would have been your instinct? You're trapped beside the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army's behind you. My instinct is to run, try to climb out when nightfall comes. But that's not what they did. He said to stand still. You stay right there where you're at. I know what you're facing. I brought you here. I placed you in this situation. I have a purpose for it. You do what? You stand still. There's a text in the book of Psalms that says to wait on the Lord. Psalms 27:11. Wait. You know what happens? We pointed out this already, but you watch Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments and the Red Sea, it flows back about a minute or so. I mean, it don't take very long. I love to watch that thing. I watched the whole movie to that part. I love to watch that Red Sea part back of it. It went quick, didn't it? But that's not how it went. They had to wait all night long. They was on shore. That wind blew all night long. And they had to wait there till morning. Pharaoh's army back here. Now, I left one thing out. Remember that pillar of fire? It was holding them back. They couldn't come near because God was holding it back till the path was made. Till the path was made, and they went through. So fear not. What you do when you're in a hopeless situation, you fear not, you trust. What else you do? You stand still. It means you wait. Wait on the Lord. Then what else you do? Remember the third one? Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Some of them had then started murmuring. And the same murmurers, anytime they hit a hardship, what did they do? They murmured. And the word murmur means they complained. And you'll see that all across their wilderness journey was those complainers. Instead of drawing strength from their God, and instead of trusting in their God, all they did was complain. And they're even mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul said, neither murmur ye as they murmured. So here's what he told them to do. Fear not, stand still, and do what else? Hold your peace. That's what he told them to do. Sermon number two was entitled The Red Sea and the Narrow Way. That's the one we preached last week. And what happened is, it's the Red Sea situation is a picture. Here's Pharaoh behind him. Here is a picture of coming judgment. What did God do? God made a way. It's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of salvation. God made a way right through the Red Sea. That way was a way of salvation for them, wasn't it? How did they enter the Red Sea, you remember? It says it right there in our text. By faith they entered. And they went right through safely, right on to the other side. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. We had judgment coming upon us, but what did God do? God made a way. And it's a narrow way. But that way is all Jesus Christ. You want to escape the certain judgments of hell and the curse of the law? You've got to go through the narrow way. How do you enter it? You enter it by faith. That's how you enter. And that's just a picture of that. Pharaoh's army, they entered that way, didn't they? What happened to them? Well, God grounded them in it. Why did He do that? They didn't enter by faith. There's a lot of people trying to go to heaven other than through the means of faith. They're trusting their works. They're trusting in their baptism. They're trusting in all these different things, but they're not trusting Christ. Christ can't be a part of your formula. It has to be all Christ, all Jesus, from start to finish. So those were the two sermons we've already preached. Now, tonight's message is going to be entitled The Red Sea and Baptism. And the Red Sea situation or the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, is also a picture of baptism. Probably should have saved this for Sunday morning, but I've got another message for Sunday morning. Can't wait to preach it either. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Talk a little bit about baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul used the Red Sea and the parting of the Red Sea and the children of Israel going down into the Red Sea and coming out the other side as a picture or an illustration of baptism. You don't hear it used that way a lot, but that's how he used it in 1 Corinthians 10. Are you with me? Let's go ahead now and look at verses 1 and verse 2. We're looking, the message entitlement is the Red Sea and baptism. That just simply means the Red Sea and the parting of it, them going in it and coming out, was a picture of baptism. Now let's go ahead and look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Now let's stop there just a little bit. Now, from the way I understand it, I think I understand it right. They were led by a pillar of a cloud, wasn't they? But sometimes, friend, and I may take you to the text. Now, if I didn't write the, I'll have to take you to the text. But go ahead and turn to Psalms 105. I want to show you something that I think sometimes we don't think of. This is something you might not have known, so I want you to turn there. It says they were under the cloud. They were under the cloud. Now, remember how they traveled by that cloud. That cloud led them. And that would be a reminder of who was with them. And God's presence went before them. That would be comforting, wouldn't it? I mean, would you not feel very comforted if you looked out in front of you and there was a pillar of cloud and that was your God leading you? You knew it. And then at night, sometimes they traveled at night, that became a pillar of fire. And that was just a physical presence to you that God was with you. All through their wilderness journey, they were never, let me say it one more time. All through their wilderness journey, they were never alone. He never took that cloud away. He never took the pillar of fire away. It led them the whole journey. All God's people said. Isn't that a pretty picture? Now, the way it seems to me is not only did that cloud lead them, but it seems also it kind of stretched back some over them to keep the sin off of them. And I think I'm right with regard to that, or wouldn't have said it. But look at Psalms 105, Psalms chapter 105, and let's look at verse 39. That's why it says that they were under the cloud. Psalms 105 and the verse 39. It said, He spread a cloud for a covering. Everybody see the word covering? It says He spread a cloud for a what? A covering. Now, when it says they went across the wilderness, what was that? That was desert, Kermit. That's exactly right. That was a desert. They weren't going across, we say wilderness, we think Canaan Valley. Wilderness is desert. So what the pillar of cloud not only led them, but it also served as a covering over them by day to keep the heat of the sun off of them for their traveling. Isn't that something? So not only did it lead them, but it also, He spread that cloud for a covering for them. So I think that's why it says back in our text in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were under it. It led them, and plus they were under it whenever it was hot. I think He covered them with that. Isn't it awesome? So God was leading them, and then God was covering them. His presence went with them. Here's what John Gill says about that. I'd like to read after him. The Lord spread over their heads as an umbrella to protect them from the heat of the sun. Let me say it one more time. The Lord spread one over their heads, talking about a cloud, as an umbrella to protect them from the heat of the sun while they traveled. It's pretty cool, isn't it? He not only led them, but He covered them and He provided for them. You know, is God with us like that?
Well, sure is.
Took up His abode in your heart the day that He saved your soul. And you know what He promises?
I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. That's what He said.
Y'all believe it? Y'all think that's a great promise? Now, should that ever be questioned by us? He said, I won't, Larry, He said, I will never leave you. Now, you know, I can't promise you that. I can't promise you I'll never leave you. I may leave next month. I may die. Or something might happen and I leave. No human can promise you they'll never leave you in this life. There's only one person can make that promise, and that's your God. He'll never leave you. And you know what that means? That means you'll never face anything by yourself. That means that God's always with you. Would you have took comfort when you had your booth set up there? Or I'm sorry, their tent. Let me use that terminology. You had your tent set up. You was in the camp of Israel. You had their tent set up. And then you'd look out to the door, so to speak, of your tent. And you'd see that fire burning out there. What would that remind you? You sleep good that night. Who's with you? God with them every step of the way. And that same thing is true of you. You never, never, never go without your God being with you. Now, sometimes some people talk about, well, I don't feel the Lord. Well, it ain't up to your feelings. People, it ain't up to your feelings. Feel the Lord. If you trust Him, the Bible says He's with you. Whether you feel Him or not, He's with you. Sometimes I don't feel like He's with me. But that, how I feel is not what's true. I just affirm what I know. Lord, I don't feel you right now, but I know you're with me. And I trust you're with me. Because you say you what? Somebody tell me the promise. Never leave you. Never. Never forsake you. Never be alone. We sing an old song here in the Brogdon. I promise never to leave me. Never. Never to leave me alone. It's a great promise. I can help you handle things. No matter what you face, God's with you. Last time I did the math, you plus God's always a majority. Think about it. You plus God's always a majority. All right, so let's read on here in 1 Corinthians 10. We're not going to do a fourth sermon out of one verse, Hollis. That's what you're thinking back there. I'm going to finish this tonight. All right. Now here's the one we're after. The Red Sea and baptism. Let's look down to verse 2. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, that doesn't mean Moses took him down in the Red Sea like I do and started baptizing. There wouldn't have been enough time for that anyhow. They didn't do that in the Old Testament anyway. But it's an illustration of baptism. It's a picture of baptism. And that's what I'm going to show you tonight. Them going through the Red Sea was a picture of baptism. So it says they were baptized unto Moses. Now let's get the picture. Are you ready? Now where had they just been? Well, they'd been in Egypt. And in Egypt, what were they under? They were under bondage. They had been in the bondage of Egypt. You know what happened? God redeemed them. What's redeemed mean? To be set free from bondage. That's what it means. When I say, we sing that song here at the church, sometimes redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What's redeemed mean? Set free from bondage. I was under the bondage of a sin debt, but now I've been set free from my bondage. That's what Israel was redeemed. They were set free from the bondage of Egypt. What set them free? What happened the night before they set free? Oh, they went through the Passover. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And guess what? They left Egypt the next morning. But they did. So they were what again? They were redeemed. Now what did the Lord do? The Lord led them to the water then, didn't He? That's the next thing you see. They come out of Egypt, and then the Lord leads them down to the Red Sea. Look at the map sometimes, Coy. They went right there. He took them right down here and put them right here where they're at. Why'd God do it? He had a purpose for it, didn't He? We know what the purposes are. We're looking at them. Okay? Well, what did they do? Well, what the Lord did is that wind blew. He had the wind blow all night and parted that way in the sea. And they went down into the water. Actually, they wasn't in the water. They was between the water. That took a lot of faith for me to walk between that water with a chew. I don't know how. I don't swim good. You, Clarence? Clarence swims like a rock like I do. And water scares me. That was deep. Can you imagine walking through and looking over? Can you imagine looking and seeing that? It took faith to enter. They went down into that water. And then what did they do on the other side? They come out on the other side. And that way River Banks does that too. It goes down, went down and come out. And what's that a picture of again? Picture of baptism. It's a picture of baptism. See, it's just an Old Testament type. After redemption, after they received the blood of the Lamb, then once they receive that, He leads them to the water. That's what happens in the New Testament, isn't it? That's just a picture of it. Once you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then He leads you to the water. And He wants that done. Talk a little bit more about that. Now let's talk about this terminology here. You see the picture? It's a pretty picture, isn't it? Redeemed, water, down, out. Now it says they were baptized unto Moses. What does that mean? They were identified with Moses. You see, baptism is an identification with your leader. That's what it is. That's another thing that it is. Baptism is a beautiful. That's one of my favorite things to do in life, is to do baptisms. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful picture of it. But it identifies you with Jesus. If you're identifying yourself with Him through the baptism. Now, think about it. They had been under, who was they under in Egypt? They're under Pharaoh. They weren't under Pharaoh no more. They were baptized under Moses. When they went down into that Red Sea and they went over on the other side, they were identifying with their new leader, and their new leader was Moses. Actually, it was God, but God was using Moses, of course, to lead them. So that's the idea of baptizing unto Moses. It was identification. It was an identification with Moses, who was their leader. Now, it's the same way today. Baptism not only is a picture of the message you trusted that saved your soul, but it also identifies you with your leader. Who is who? Jesus. It identifies you with Him. Now, turn to Galatians 3. Now that I've set it all up, now I'm more comfortable. I can take you right through this now. Turn to Galatians Chapter 3. Does everybody see how the Red Sea is a picture of baptism? And baptized unto Moses simply means they were, through going through the Red Sea, they were identified with Moses. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 26. Notice what it says. It says, "Ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now everybody look at verse 26. I want to read it one more time once you get it. How do you become a child of God? What's verse 26 say? You're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, when I ask somebody, are they saved or not, and they say yes, and I ask them, why do they say that? You know who I want to hear in the next sentence? I want to hear about Christ Jesus. I want to hear that somebody's trusted Christ Jesus as their Savior. That's what I'm listening for. So that's how you become a child of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. Everybody see it? Now notice what it says in verse 26, or 27, I'm sorry. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What's that mean? The idea of into is E-I-S, is the word. It means because of Christ. You get baptized because of Christ. It says you put Him on. You put Him on. Now let's talk about that just a little bit. We When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're a child of God by what again? Faith. But what's one of the main ways, or if not the main way, that you make that known? How do you make it known public? How do you make it public? Baptism. It's like a public, it's a public declaration that you've trusted Jesus. And it identifies you with Him. Now, in the, just the past, probably 2 centuries, Hollis, that's always been how people made it known. When someone got saved, the next thing that happened, they baptized them. It wasn't to get them saved. They'd become a child of God by what again? Well, Galatians 3:26, child of God by faith. That's why people can be saved on a deathbed. That's why people can be saved without baptism. But if you're able, and you trust Jesus, He wants you to be baptized. And what that does is that identifies you publicly with Him. That's public identification. Like they were baptized unto Moses, we were baptized unto who? Unto Jesus. And when you watch a baptism, you see a physical picture of the message that that person trusted that saved their soul. Death, burial, resurrection. You identify Him with Him. You shouldn't be ashamed to identify with Him. Once you trust Christ, by faith in Christ Jesus, and then in baptism, it's like the public declaration of putting Him on. Let me use an illustration. I think I got this from Bible college. And it's a good one. Let me use the illustration. Now, I guess they still go to Beckley and swear in, don't they? If you're going in the military, you used to go to Beckley. You still go to Beckley then, okay. And you can go to Beckley and they'll swear you in. They'll swear you in. And you know when they swear you in, guess what? I've seen old boys change their mind after they swore in. You're in. You swear in. You in. You remember that. I say, oh, I don't think I'm going to go, Jeff. I've changed my mind. I'm sorry, but you're in. So they go down there and they swear in. And you know, when they come back after swearing in, when they swear in, you know what? Again, let me tell you, when they swear in, they're in. But they don't look no, Brother John, they don't look no different. They'll come back. They might not go in for 6 months. But as far as law is concerned, when they swore in, they were in. Well, 6 months later, it's time to go. And they'll ship off. It used to be in the 70s. We had that nice big hair about you. Kermit Ball had a fro this big when he was in high school, didn't he? I mean, we had power hair in the 70s. Yeah, look what it done to him. Yeah, and they'd have that big old thing of hair, and they go into they go to basic training. What's the first thing they'd do? Them old sergeants would go, now how do you want a cut? They just zip them. I mean, they wouldn't have a hair on their head left. And then, you know what else they did while they was in there? They put their what on? They put on their uniform.
That's right.
But you know, the day they swore in, they were in. But when they went back and they went to basic and they put their uniform on, they come back in, boy, they're slicker than a whistle. They had that uniform on. They had put on their uniform. And you could look at him and say, hey, he's in the Marine Corps. He's wearing his, here, he's in the Navy or whatever it might be. That's the way baptism is. When you trust in Christ Jesus as your Savior from your heart, by faith, you are a child of God by faith. Guess what? You're in. You're in. But now you know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to put on your uniform. It said in Galatians 3:27, he that's been baptized puts him on it. Just like putting your uniform on. You're publicly professing Him before everyone. And you're making it public. I'm a disciple. And look at here. Here's the message that I trusted that saved my soul. All God's people say it. Just like putting on your uniform. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We'll read you a couple of texts. I'm going to be able to close this tonight. Everybody understand the picture? Baptizing to Moses just simply means by going down in the Red Sea and coming out the other side. It's just a picture. Just a picture of baptism. Baptism, the first person to baptize was John the Baptist. Baptism started with John the Baptist. And who told him to baptize? Was God. He was sent, his authority to do it was God. Matter of fact, Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist. After John the Baptist, it was Jesus. And John 4, he made and baptized more. He made and baptized more disciples than John. And Jesus, in the commission, gave the authority to baptize to his church. So his church carries the commission. That's why he started the church, to make disciples by spreading the gospel, administer ordinances, and teach his people God's word. That's the purpose of a church. That's what it's supposed to do. Here's the order. Are you ready? Watch this now. Verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized. Now who did they baptize here? They that did what? Gladly received the word. That's how you get saved. You hear about the gospel, you hear how Jesus died for you and rose again, you trust the gospel, you gladly receive the word. That's how you're saved. Galatians 3:26, you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how you're saved. Okay? What happens next? Those that gladly receive the word were baptized. As a matter of fact, in Acts 2, I've never had to do this. I hope I have this problem one of these days. 3,000 people were saved in Acts 2, and 3,000 people were baptized. So those that gladly received the word were baptized. That's why we call it believers' baptism. That's why it's called that. You only baptize believers. You only baptize disciples. Now watch the order. They that gladly received the word were baptized, and that same day was added unto them. What were they added to? Let me tell me. Yeah, they added to the church. Now, you talk about an increase. You read there in Acts 1, they had a church roll, had 120 names on it. It said the number of names gathered together was 120. That's Acts 1:15. 120 names. I don't know who their secretary was, but that would have been 3,120 names. They went from having 120 in Sunday school, just kidding, to 3,120 in one day. Think about it. So they were received the word, they were baptized, then they were what? Added. Then they were added. Then what did they do? Well, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of bread. Now, the breaking of bread in verse 42 is the Lord's Supper. That's the order. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about the bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the Lord Jesus? So watch the order. Receive the word. Baptism. Receiving the word. Baptism. Added to the church 3,000. Then the breaking of bread. That's the order. That's the order we use. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 6. I'll be able to stop with this one. Romans chapter 6. So baptism identifies you publicly with Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Baptism identifies you publicly with Jesus. Once a person is baptized, they also become, they're added to the church that baptized. Okay? Beautiful picture, isn't it? When you're baptized, you're publicly identified with who again? You're publicly identifying yourself. Too many people turn baptism down. God wants it done. Romans chapter 6. Now, not only in baptism are you identifying yourself with Jesus publicly, but you know what else you're doing? You're also saying you're not going to walk in sin no more. You're saying that your life's going to change. Watch this now. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God, what? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, even so we should walk in the... What kind of life should we walk in? Newness of life. For someone to continue to live in open, unrepentant... Now, I'm not saying you're not ever going to sin after you're saved either. I'd be lying if I told you that. We still live in flesh bodies. But after you're saved, you're changed. You don't want to walk the way you used to. You don't want to live the way you used to. You have a desire to live sober and righteous and godly in this present world. And when you're baptized, not only are you identifying yourself with Jesus and you're publicly saying you're his a follower of his, you have trusted his gospel, you have become a child of God. Not only are you saying that, but when you come up out of that water, you're saying something else. I'm going to walk in a new way. And for someone to live in open sin after they've been saved is to contradict what they said in their baptism. And that's the illustration he's using in Romans 6. That's the illustration that he's using. Can we continue in sin that grace may abound? And his answer was what? God forbid. And then he brings up baptism. In your baptism, you said that you was going to walk in a new life. For someone to live in open sin after that, unrepentant, is to contradict their baptism. You're walking in what? Newness. It's a new life. Died to the old one. Walking in a new one. See, baptism has deep meaning. That's why it should mean something to folk. Deep meaning. So, they were baptized unto Moses. So that's all the pictures. I think I've drained all the pictures out of that one verse, I hope, for you. Here was the Red Sea in faith, the Red Sea, and let me get all of them straight. I've got all three of them wrote down. Red Sea in faith, the Red Sea in the narrow way, and the Red Sea and baptism. So hope that blessed you this evening, and I pray that the Lord would bless you with this text. Let's all stand. Thank you.